The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Real Life Podcast, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome to Real Life, everyone.
What is going on right now?
I think that I'm in love with Matthew Tkachuk.
Are you guys all drunk?
Welcome to the Real Life Podcast. It's Oilers Nation Radio.
Blue Jays Nation Radio.
Blue Jays Nation Radio.
Did we play the... Let me just add in the right intro after, I guess.
Yeah, why is everything so loud?
Hold on.
We are close to the bottom here.
There you go.
There's a lot going on.
There we go. Now I can't hear myself.
We're nice and tasty.
Hold on.
What a week.
Hey, can you crank me up? I can't hear myself now.
I can't hear anything.
Hold on.
I can't hear anything.
Just another episode of Real Life.
Another episode of Real Life. Welcome to Oilers Nation Radio. We are on a tight time limit here today because we have got three of us on the podcast, Bag Milk, Dan, and Tyler, all wearing our Jays jerseys. Liam is representing our friends at Betway.
Ding dong.
A lot of stuff going on today. Shout out to all of you for checking this out. Let's just get to it for our friends at Oodle Noodle. New location opening in Calgary very, very soon, by the way. If you are a Nation citizen, if you are listening to me right now and you're in Calgary, your food game is going to be leveling up very, very soon. If you're here in Edmonton, the new West End location open today. How about that? Tyler? What is the delicious debate this week?
After watching the way Dylan Holloway has performed in the preseason, the delicious debate today is, what are your realistic expectations for Mr. Holloway this season?
I'm going to start with our head scout, Liam Harbin.
Who scouted him in the AJHL.
I seen him play the Encana Arena once. He got in a scrum behind the net as a 16-year-old.
There you go.
My expectations for Dylan Holloway... I'm not going to say anything too high because I don't really know where he's going to play yet. So I'll say I think he gets between 10 and 15 goals. Let's say 40 points. Is that seems reasonable?
If he comes in and gets 40 points, that is a solid rookie season.
A lot of people were saying like rookie of the year.
Let's pump the brakes here a little bit. Yeah. I'll jump in next. I think that I get the end. I completely understand the excitement with Dylan Holloway. He's really good. Everything that he does has been fun to watch so far in the preseason, but I am old enough to remember going to a preseason game where Magnus Pajärvi-Svensson, I believe he was still Pajärvi-Svensson at that time, he scored a hat trick in the preseason against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I left Rexall Place at that time thinking, this guy is going to be the best of the bunch of him, Hall, and Eberle. As it turns out, that didn't quite happen.
That was my first experience of hockey was that preseason.
Really?
So Pajärvi was the first NHL hat trick I ever witnessed, and I thought, wow.
And I thought a lot of us probably jumped on the bandwagon a little early. The reality is when you score a hat trick in the preseason, it's great. Mm-hmm. We're going to dub Dylan Holloway the preseason champ. He's already been awarded the Ty Ratty Award. That's fine. But the real work starts in the regular season. What to expect from him? If he gets 12 to 15 goals... Points I'm not too concerned about, but if he lands somewhere in 12 to 15 goals, man, that's a really good rookie season in my opinion.
Tyler? So, and I think that's super realistic because last season there were 16 NHL rookies who finished with more than 12 goals. So it's not like we're asking the world out of Dylan Holloway, and I'd go a step further and say none of these rookies had a chance to play with Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl at any points. And I'm not saying Holloway's spending all 82 games in the top six, but if we're looking at a few extended looks on either one of those two guys' wings and maybe regular third line minutes on top of that, I think a realistic expectation for Holloway would be something similar to like what a Dawson Mercer did in New Jersey, maybe even what an Anton Lundell was able to produce in Florida last year. So
what are we looking at there?
17, 18 goals, 25, 26 assists, somewhere in the 42 to 45 point range, I think. If he gets 20 goals, Oilers fans should be thrilled with that. That'd be unreal.
All right, Dan, you're up. Then I got another question about Dylan Holloway.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for me, I understand Oilers fans when they, you know, we've been without a Calder Trophy finalist.
The drought room. We've had finalists, but never a winner.
Never a winner.
Nuge was a finalist, right?
Nuge was a finalist. Jason McDavid was a finalist. Fucking Jason McDavid Arden. Didn't
win. That's exactly why I was going to say. I feel like Oilers fans are deserved in wanting to force Holloway into the Calder conversation. And when you see what he's done in the preseason, I've admittedly only been able to watch one game so far, but the game that I did watch was the one that he had a hat trick. It's been a challenge. But the hat trick that he had, those goals that he scored were goal scoring goals. Like he was sniping.
They weren't going in off his ass.
Yeah. He was picking spots. So, you know, you're excited when you see that. And why not have a Daniel Sprong come up and play with Sidney Crosby and have it turn into absolute gold? Who says that Dylan Holloway can't be that
Chris
guy
Kunitz
halfway through? Exactly. So, you know, I want to see that. I would love to see him go for the Calder. I'm excited, and let's just stay positive and eager about having a nice, young, talented player on our lineup.
I was going to say the reason I also don't think he's going to be in the Calder conversation is guys like Mason McTavish and
yes,
Owen Power. Like this actually
Seattle's combination of Wright
Like Holloway's obviously a high-end rookie. But a lot of bad teams have high-end rookies who are going to play a ton more than Holloway is going to play, right?
I was just going to say, just to that point, I was just going to say, for rookies, though, usually it's a dark horse that comes out of the behind with the Calder Trophy,
we
right?
We won it last year.
Not Tanner Janot, who should have.
Marin Sider.
Yeah, six overall.
He came out of nowhere.
But again, a guy that wouldn't have been in the top picks there. So now I do think that Seattle's going to come away with the Calder Trophy this year, but I understand Oilers fans being excited about it. So I go up ahead.
I just want to say, like, having a rookie produce in the NHL is not easy by any stretch. And to Liam's point, there's a lot of good rookies this year. Mm-hmm. And there's some that are a little bit older than Holloway that are making their NHL debuts this year, maybe a little bit more advanced. But it's going to be really interesting to see where Jay Woodcroft plays him. The last two preseason games, the one in Abbotsford and then I guess back here before that, he played with Draisaitl in one game, McDavid the next game. If he plays with those two, then maybe the production is at a point where you go, oh shit, he's in the conversation. We didn't necessarily expect it. But for me, that is a gravy situation where I don't think any of us should be counting on that.
No. But that's the nice part about this Oilers team is Holloway doing what he's doing and looking as good as he is isn't us sitting here like wiping sweat off of our heads being like, oh, thank God they got another top nine winger. It's forcing us to have conversations like, okay, is Warren Fogel a fourth liner? What do they do with Puljujarvi? He actually had to come in and like blow the doors off in camp to even get a sniff of being a realistic option for opening night.
I want to know what you think about Dylan Holloway. What should we expect from him in year one? Hit us up, Owen Radio Podcast. That is your delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. If you're looking for something to eat, you're watching the Jays this afternoon. DoorDash. Liam?
Ding dong.
There you go. Order it through DoorDash. We're going to stick with Holloway here real quick, boys. I want to talk about this kind of Holloway versus Puljujarvi talk that's been coming up. Tyler, I think, just got a bet go against him.
Not just watching baseball.
Let's talk about Holloway versus Puljujarvi. Yeah. They play different positions. I find the debate a little interesting and weird, but let's get into it. Liam?
That was going to be my first point. I think it's odd because they're not even the same position.
You can have both.
Yeah, you can have both. I think the interesting thing for, I almost called him Puljujarvi. Puljujarvi, what have you done for me lately?
Same with Magnus Puljujarvi, frankly.
Yeah.
Good point.
Both of them. Yeah, but like, you know, we had a lot of debate talking about Fogel throughout the offseason of him being the guy who's going to go. Then he comes in and scores two goals. And like someone pointing out Oilers Nation Everyday chat today, like, Warren Fogle has worked his way off probably the trade block, I think, in a lot of people's eyes.
But is that fair when he gets two goals in garbage time against a Canucks AHL roster?
Probably not really, but I think he's been working hard.
Puljujärvi didn't do it.
He did not.
And he played against Winnipeg's farm team.
He did not. Actually, I think Puljujärvi had a really bad preseason. Mediocre at the very best.
Yeah, like, and I'm not hit a crap on him.
Me neither.
I think there's a lot of people who are, and I don't think it's unjustified right now, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. And I think we've, like we Tyler just said, like Holloway had to come in here and blow the doors off. Well, Puljujärvi's had this conversation all summer of when's he going to get moved, and he hasn't come in here and blown the doors off. And people say like, oh, it's just preseason, and like we only scored against these guys, but it's like, but guys are still producing and guys are still scoring goals. Like, people weren't complaining the other day when McDavid skated all the way around Vancouver. Like, that was still a great goal. Like, you still have to score goals to put your name out there. And he just hasn't at the moment, unfortunately.
But are we having a debate that's not necessary and that we've had before, right? We have to get rid of Taylor Hall because we're going to bring in Milan Lucic.
Oh, that's a great,
right?
That's a great comparison.
Like, that's perfect.
We can't keep doing this as an organization.
You can have
shipping
both.
Talent out the door while bringing in other talent that is unknown. Frankly, you know, like here I am, I'm talking about being positive about Holloway, but now the reality is, what has he done for us lately is a preseason. He hasn't done anything in the regular season for us because he hasn't had the opportunity yet.
Holloway?
Yeah.
Yeah, like
least the games he's playing, he's doing something.
Agree. Yeah. But I just, like, my thing is, why is Jesse Puljujärvi the one that we're like, okay, that's the one we have to get rid of?
Because he was a fourth overall pick and we have high expectations and people want him to produce.
But I also just think this conversation gets brought up by people who just want to constantly drag Puljujärvi through the mud. Like, the line I used on Oilers Nation
either way, I would say.
That too. The line I used on Oilers Nation every day, you're like, how dumb is the saying, you can't have your cake and eat it too, right? Like, it's dumb. If I have a cake, I would like to eat it. And that's the same thing with the depth. People are acting like, oh, you can't have your depth forwards and keep them too, right? Like, no, you can have good depth and keep everyone as long as it works with the cap. And the Oilers can clearly do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As the old man, that saying is just talking about how you can't have your cake after you've already eaten it. Do you know what I mean?
Also, Marie Antoinette she had issues. Yeah.
You can't look at the cake and enjoy it after you've already eaten it.
You could just get another cake. Means.
You could get another cake. Deep and delicious, maybe?
Whatever you like.
Everybody's got time McCain's for deep action. And delicious.
Maybe some ice cream cake.
Oh, that'd be really nice.
Mm. For me, it's delightful. Like we're not talking about moving a left winger out for a left winger.
No, it's not at all.
That's not even the conversation, right? Like, we're talking about moving a left winger for a right winger just because?
I find that this...
Because it's Puljujärvi, right?
Yeah. I find that the hyperbole on Puljujärvi on either side 100%. Is crazy right now.
So
yeah. And it's like... His analytics say this, so he is therefore this. And it's like, well, I mean, hockey's so fluid and like there's a lot of moving parts. And I don't know that you can rely solely on defensive numbers to assess a player in the NHL. Where on the flip side, he's not horrible either.
No, he's not ruining the team. It's not like he's holding somebody else out of the lineup because he's like, oh, we need this guy to produce. Like,
and this is what a team that's had
15 goals?
He had 36 points last year. Yeah. It was a career high. He started off like a house on fire. I don't remember exactly how many he had by the first or second week of November, but he was pacing really well, and then the wheels kind of fell off. When I had Frank Saravalli on Better Late Than Ever on Wednesday, I asked him about Puljujärvi, and he was just kind of like, well... So a lot of teams are looking at him as a guy with a $3 million price tag. You don't really know what you're going to get yet. And that's not a shot against Puljujärvi. It's just that he's had ebbs and flows that come with young players. And what's going to be really interesting, and this was according to Frank, is what happens within the next week before the start of the regular season. We got some news today. Samorukov waivers. Let's hope he clears. Matthias Janmark, waivers. We'll see what happens there.
Hasn't been a ton of movement on the waiver wire.
Not a whole lot.
But
Pickard went through. He cleared. Yep. Everyone cleared from yesterday.
Yeah,
just a couple cleared. of players here and there getting grabbed.
And the Kings put Lias Anderson.
Yeah.
And he was a 7th overall pick 5 years ago.
The metal thrower. That was him, right? Yeah.
Oh, was it him?
Yeah, that was
him. Oh, I like that. I don't like a guy who's happy losing. Bring him in. Okay, so I want your debate. I want to hear from you on Holloway versus Puljujärvi. If it even makes sense. To me, it doesn't. But to you, who knows? Hit us up, Owen Radio Podcast. Other couple things that everybody was talking about are our PTO boys. Yesterday, Jake Virtanen got cut. Jason Demers still here. Let's start with Virtanen. Tyler, if you're looking at Jake Virtanen, what he did in the preseason, the opportunity ahead of him, the fact that there was potentially a spot to grab on the right side, what do you make of this?
I'll jump in. I just thought
I fucking got him.
Here's a guy.
I got him perfectly.
So I'm not being lazy and watching baseball. I have to get the DFO rundown up because they just interviewed Jonathan Huberto. My bad.
We're just talking about a guy in Jesse Puljujärvi has had all these opportunities. Mm-hmm. Jake Virtanen was gifted an opportunity that was not going to be offered, I don't think, to other teams for him. And he still came in and played flat. Yeah. To me, everything about that is detrimental to the Oilers, and that's where I have the issue. Why did we bring in a player that was going to show up like this and not show up at all, make you look bad for bringing in said player, not even mentioning the fact all the red flags and all the issues outside of the ice, but that player on the ice was a waste of a PTO.
Yep.
To me, there was a whole lot of noise for a guy who made absolutely none of it on the ice. Looking only at what happened in the preseason games that he played, Jake Virtanen had the opportunity to come in and steal a job on the right side. That's my opinion. He did nothing to get there.
And like, it's funny because there were, you know, a lot of people for whatever reason felt the need to like defend Jake Virtanen coming into this whole thing. And even then, like, man, those people couldn't even put together somewhat anything close to an argument. Like, that's how bad he played. And I was doing a radio hit today and they asked, all right, so now that the book is closed on Jake Virtanen, it's like, what book? What is it? Half a page long? There's no book. He came in, he was irrelevant. And like you said, Dan, waste of a PTO. You brought a bunch of negative headlines towards your team for no reason at all. You made a bunch of people in your fan base not feel great about cheering for you again for a guy who sucks. Pointless.
The only thing that was good that came out of it was Evander Kane's posts of the photos.
We're going to get there in a second.
That was pretty funny.
It was Jake absolutely ruthless.
Was more of a postcard that did not deliver than a book.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
What about Jason DeBurs? He's still here.
I think he's getting an AHL deal.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're going to do with him. I think they need him to go down there. I think he wouldn't be around anymore if that wasn't the plan. Don't think he's getting an NHL deal.
Like, maybe a two-way?
I think they'll straight up just sign him to an AHL contract. Like, do they need to sign him to a two-way?
I don't know. I just figure, like, injuries always happen in this league, right? If you have him on a two-way, you could sign him later.
You could just sign him later because what is it right now? So the guys in Bay, you have Samarukov, who's
hopefully
going to go down.
Fingers crossed.
What's the other guy's name? Desharnais?
He's banged up right now, though.
Well, maybe you do need him on a two-way then. You have Murray as well. Nymalainen and Broberg. So that's five bottom pair in defensemen.
I don't disagree with your assessment of just get him onto the Condors, though. Like, it's not like people are clamoring for Jason Demers.
He played in the KHL last year. I'm sure he'd be happy to be back in North America, to be honest. Where's he from? Is he Canadian? He's Canadian. Yeah, because he played at the Olympics.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Yeah. I was just wondering if, like, just be back closer to his family, I would assume, is probably more beneficial to him than being in...
on the right side of the pond.
Yeah, literally.
Jason Demers is from Dorval, Quebec, Liam.
Ah, of course. It's a very French name.
Mm-hmm. Jason.
I don't mind having that warm body in Bayco, though.
I don't mind having veteran depth anywhere, ever.
Yeah. Well, Bakersfield right now is such a young team.
Warm bodies, or as we like to call them on this podcast, hard bodies, right?
Yeah, hard bodies always.
Hard bodies.
Some hard bodies.
Kind of reminds me when they had Mark Fane down there forever.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Good, well, that
good
was
you had to have around. I know. We
couldn't have
him. Can I tell a quick Mark Fane story? Real quick.
I love this story.
We were having a viewing party at the Pint downtown. I wish Rick was here because he also saw it. This was in the series against Anaheim. So the second round in 2017, we're having our playoff parties. We're doing our thing. We're at the Pint downtown. We're celebrating. And then game 7 happens. The mood not quite so bright at the Pint. And then as they try to get the crowd back into just not moping, they crank up the music again. And who hits the dance floor first? Was Black Ace Mark Fane out there cutting a rug, and I'm just looking over at him. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm so mad, and you're out there doing the Dougie or whatever he was
doing. That's a guy who doesn't take his work home with him.
That is absolutely a guy who doesn't take his work home with him. His work-life balance is real tight.
Walks out of that arena and he is just like us.
I just remember it's like, I am almost in tears and there's Mark Fain cutting a rug.
Didn't he almost dress in a game?
Yeah, they played Griffin Reinhardt.
They both warmed up.
Shout out to Big Cat.
He was probably out on the dance floor when they called him up.
Where are you? He's like, I don't know.
So ignore the music in the background.
I don't know. My phone's not working. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. Go check them out at cornerstoneins.ca. All the insurance products you could ever hope for. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance. Everything is there. Get a quote, submit a claim. You can do it all through the website. And as Tyler will tell you, the folks at Cornerstone Insurance are wonderful to deal with. Are they not, Tyler?
10 out of 10. Would recommend.
There you go. Cornerstone Insurance. Get them in your life. CornerstoneIns.ca. That's CornerstoneIns.ca. Next up on my list of topics, Tyler on Oilers Nation every day yesterday. Yesterday. You had Frank Saravalli on there.
No, that was Wednesday.
Wednesday was with Frank Saravalli talking about Evan Bouchard's next deal with the Edmonton Oilers. We've talked about that on this podcast a lot. I would have tried to cleft bomb him this offseason.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. What'd you get out of Frank on the Bouchard extension?
Well, it was interesting because it was unprompted. Like, I literally brought on Frank and I was like, hey, like, welcome into the show. And he was like, hey, Liam was just talking about Bouchard. I checked in with my sources and the Oilers haven't had any meaningful dialogue with him, to paraphrase Frank. And I think that's a huge mistake.
Me too.
If this guy goes, like Liam's predicting, and pops home 20 goals, Frank even said, like, he's going to get way more expensive.
Yep.
And you saw a deal that a guy like Mackenzie Weegar got today, 8 years, 6.25 down in Calgary. And I look at Bouchard and I go, honestly, at this point, I would give that deal to Bouchard. If he'd be willing to sign for 8 years here, I would have no problem going $6.25 million right now, because one, we know the cap's going up, and two, look at what premier offensive defensemen in this league get. Look at what young offensive defensemen in this league get. Zach Werenski, over $9 million. Quinn Hughes, over $7 million. If you can get Bouchard locked up for anything below 6.25 or around that range, I think you do it all day. It doesn't sound like the Oilers really want to do that, and that's disappointing.
Really disappointing. Dan or Liam, just thoughts on maybe waiting longer than we should for a guy who, in my opinion... Shout out to Jay. Dad is the answer. Leave that on his Instagram. I think he's a part of the team long term.
Well, for me, for a team that has Darnell Nurse on their team and looks at that contract every day and probably regrets some bridge deals, I think it's pretty ludicrous sitting here waiting on Evan Bouchard. You can't allow talent to just continue to up its value, especially when we now know what we have in Evan Bouchard. I feel like everybody's pretty confident and was pretty comfortable losing a Tyson Barrie this offseason because we had Evan Bouchard waiting in the wings. And for the organization not to feel that way too is pretty silly to me.
Liam?
Yeah, I'm a little torn because on one hand, you're right with the bridge deals, like this bit them in the ass a couple of times, but then you look at what he was able to get Ryan Nugent Hopkins after waiting out, and like they re-signed Evander Kane, and I don't know. I kind of trust Holland, but also like we see all these other guys, like this Bouchard has so much potential to just go and be unreal this season. And then you're looking at it like, well, shit, now we got to pay this guy all this money. And do you think though, like he's obviously not going to hit. I don't think he'd get paid more than Nurse. I don't think they would.
Bouchard?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not yet, but like what happens if you bridge him? Like again, Nurse got that deal heading into his 27-year-old season. Evan Bouchard's only 22. What if in the next 5 years, like Bouchard blossoms into a premier puck moving D-man who's scoring 70 plus points because he plays on the power play with Connor McDavid? Like it's not the most insane thing when you look at his 5-on-5 production and take in the expectation that he's handling more power play minutes this year.
I don't know if I expect this to happen. I don't think it would. But do you think there's a chance the Oilers keep him off the power play to keep his numbers down?
So this was a big beef I had the other day on Real Life because Jay and Chalmers kind of brought this up. I cannot stand when that happens. Mm-hmm. Like you have Leafs fans being like, oh, you can't play Bunting with Matthews again because you got to keep his next contract down. What are we doing here?
Yeah. Do you want
to
win?
Is the goal to score goals and win games and ice a good team? Or is the goal to end up with a bunch of cool contracts?
Yeah.
Like you don't keep Bouchard off the power. You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
like,
oh,
you don't keep Bouchard off the power play.
I love a cool contract though.
It's the baseball sending your service time down bullshit all over again.
100%.
Yeah. And that would always piss me off.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's the Oilers not playing a guy in the last game because it's ticky tacky bullshit.
Mm. Yeah.
And you shouldn't be doing that with your talent because other free agents watch that shit. And young players, his teammates watch that shit. And if they see him actively being glass ceilinged by the organization, that's going to play into everyone after him. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to keep going, but just to me, it's silly to keep doing this.
But can you imagine like last year of Drysdale's contract, the Oilers are like, hey man, we're playing you with Devin Shore all year. And it's like, what? It's like, well, your next contract's going to be a little crazy big guy. Like, listen, tone it down.
Our power play is clicking at 40%. You're on unit two now.
Yeah.
It's over.
Like, or like Ryan McLeod this year, like, hey, we're sending him down to Bakersfield just to make sure he doesn't get too wild. Like, come on guys. But I did see people in my mentions talking about that, being like, oh, you're stupid if you put him on the power play in a contract year. And it's like, what are you, living in fantasy land? Like, you got to go win games. This is an important year. Bouchard gives you a good chance to win games on the power play.
I do think taking away just affects his contracts at the end of the season. I don't think he becomes a 100% power play guy. I think we kind of spoke about it the other day. I think they'll just kind of rotate it where it's like, okay, we have a lead. We just need to kind of keep on it. Like, let's just put Barry on there. But if you need to be more aggressive, that's when Bouchard will kind of slide in. I think that's how they'll rotate them. I do think we'll see his time increase significantly because, quite frankly, it has to. Mm-hmm. He's too good not to play on the
power play. Woodcroft wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't.
Remember last year in the playoffs, there was a couple games when they were down. Bouchard was the guy over the ice late in games when they were trying to tie the game.
Yep.
That's right.
Against Colorado, one game for sure that happened.
Because he wasn't on the ice.
It's funny you say that because Barry was the one who got the late winner against LA as well.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's just, you know, it's even the day before we talked about it on Oilers Nation Every Day too. Like, Barry scored the 5-on-5 goal. Like, Barry still brings a lot to this team. Like,
of course.
Sure. He kind of gets shit on a lot, actually, and he's still a very reliable player for us. But yeah, eventually Bouchard's just got to take that spot and run with it.
Well, and I think the reality is that the Oilers have also created a lot of these situations where we're looking at players and looking at their contract and we're like, well, we could get rid of that because of the cap hell that we're in right now with $167 worth of cap space.
I love that number, by the way.
So it's just, there's a certain element, like we talked about it with Puljujarvi, now we're talking about it with Barry, where Oiler fans are okay with getting rid of those people because of the number next to their name, not so much their talent.
Do you know one thing too? I think the cap has just become so complicated for people that they just see, like, oh shit,
$167 is scary.
Someone is like, no, there's a reason. People are hired to look at this stuff. Like, the Oilers wouldn't have paid Ryan McLeod what they did if they didn't have to and stuff like that. Like,
the $160 cap hit thing, this is a great chance, free little bit of marketing for anyone out there. If you run like a restaurant or a steakhouse, do the Oilers cap hit meal. Like Ruth Chris, $160, you and your partner can dine for as much cap space as the Oilers have.
That's a good call. Yeah.
That's a free little dose of marketing from Tyler here. I'm checking for you.
They better hope nobody...
Bless you.
Better hope nobody leaves the Oilers, otherwise that cap hit's going to go up and it's going to be an expensive steak dinner.
Like while you're eating?
Whoa, 10 grand?
Sorry, guys. This is the deal. What'd you signed up.
Oh, Devin Shore just went down.
It fluctuates throughout the season.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we go to our Ask the Idiot segment, where you guys submit the questions and I ask the boys for their first thoughts, a couple of other things I want to get to. I had Frank on Better Late Than Ever on Wednesday. That thing that was going around everywhere on Twitter was about 10 days ago or something, where the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to clear cap space for Connor McDavid in 4 years' time. Well, I asked Frank about that specifically, and what he said, and to paraphrase Frank Saravalli, was just like, unless the Oilers fall off a cliff entirely and they are not competitive, I can't see any way Connor McDavid leaves there.
How did that begin? Like, what did people just look at this and think, wow, they have nobody after 4 years besides Morgan Riley?
Probably so McDavid. What happened was, is somebody on Twitter misquoted Elliot Friedman. Elliot Friedman was just kind of opining about the Leafs cap situation because Matthews is up there. What is that? 2 years?
2024.
When he joins Arizona State.
Matthews is up right away. I see Nylander's up right away in there. So he's opining about the Leafs cap situation. And somebody misquoted him, because actually I heard that he spoke to Gregor and was like, I don't know where everybody's talking about this Toronto McDavid cap thing. I didn't say that.
So
it got twisted around, blew up on Twitter. Twitter went Twitter. So the point here is, I asked Frank about it and he's like, that's nonsense. That's all I wanted to say, really.
Is there a team in the league that we think wouldn't try and make room for Connor McDavid?
It's funny because just to look at the NBA for a second, Giannis was becoming a free agent, and people prepared for 2 years for him to become a free agent.
Raps included.
Yeah, literally almost every team in the league did it. Like, Dallas was a big one, and then he just re-signed with Milwaukee. And everyone's like, well, shit.
Oh, whoopsie-doo.
No, we prepared for a guy who we're not even getting. Like, it just, there's no need for teams. They're not looking that far ahead. They're looking at their own team that far ahead, being like, okay, we have Matthews up in 2 years. But they're not thinking like, okay, there's McDavid. Like,
and it's the Leaf fans, too. It just depends on what hospital you were born in Toronto, right?
It's another thing, too, and like, this may be a message to the Oilers fans out there. We're probably going to hear, just like with the Giannis stuff, a lot of this over the next few years, right? There's going to be a lot of the Arizona Coyotes ownership is being prepared to offer McDavid $20 million, or like, rumors say Kings ownership is obsessed with the idea of McDavid, and it's going to come. And like, you know,
New Jersey Devils have opened up a new hotel just for Connor's family.
I think the point here is that the boys are getting at, just prepare yourself. We're going to be hearing it a lot. It's nonsense, though. It's noise. We know what's going on here. We all know.
Just say Matthews is going to Arizona.
Which is probably happening.
Yes, that is. I heard it.
I have a source, which is Liam. And I heard he's going.
Yeah, my source is Cap Friendly, told me that, too, from what I can see on this.
Next up, I just want everybody's real quick thoughts. So we've had our goalie tandem, Soup and Stew. They've each gotten a full game so far. Again, it's the preseason. Like, the Oilers took 9,000 penalties against Vancouver the other night. Yeah. Not much Skinner can do about that. I just want everybody's first thoughts on Soup and Stew as we've worked through the preseason. If you haven't watched a whole lot, just kind of what you're expecting from everybody.
Yeah, I'll just jump in and say I've only watched the one game of Campbell. I liked everything I saw of him.
He's got a little bit of
arrogance and flash that we've been missing for a long time, even with Mike Smith. I would just say big fan of everything Campbell I've seen.
I will also note that in that game, Dan, Cody Ceci did not make a great play on one of the goals that got scored against him. Jack Campbell didn't yell at him at all. In fact, he gave him a, that's okay, pal, tap on the butt with the stick.
Oh, my Lord, what a change of pace. Remember when we had to have those conversations about, like, did Mike Smith tell Philip Broberg to fuck off at the bench?
Chances are, yes.
Has Mike stopped staring at him?
It's like, Jack Campbell sends gift basket to young defensemen. That's like the kind of stuff we get. Liam, your first thoughts, just kind of Soup and Stew.
I'll be honest, since our last recording, I've watched that exact same amount of preseason games.
Nah.
But my expectations, I think, are pretty high for this duo. I think, like you said, like, Campbell's feels like a good veteran. He's been around the block. Like, he had to grind his way to the NHL. Like, I think he feels privileged, I guess, to be here in a way, I suppose.
He doesn't take it for granted.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. And, like, now you have Stuart Skinner, who has done it a little bit similar. He's had to go through the ECHL, the American League, and now he's here. And I think it's a good duo. I think it's better than the duo we had last season. You know, there's all these numbers where it's like, oh, Mike Smith was the sixth best goalie in the NHL. It's like, was he really? Like, he was good. Don't get me wrong. Mike Smith helped us get to the Western Conference Final.
It was just, he was hurt.
He was hurt, and he was so hot and cold that I just think we're getting more consistency this year.
Yeah, and let's hope the injuries kind of get away from Campbell too, but until he got injured last season, he was a Vezina candidate.
Yep.
So, and Stuart Skinner was one of the best goalies in the American Hockey League. So I think we've got a pretty good 1-2 punch going here. And the defense, I think that kind of helps with the Broberg thing too, or like that third pair in left side defenseman. Like, you can almost have a younger guy there come through, because I think the defense doesn't have to be as good as it needed to be last season.
Tyler, last word, soup and stoop.
Yeah, I'm just expecting more consistency. I got asked this question earlier today, like, how would you handle the workload between these two? And I think early on, I'd be fine going a little bit heavier towards Campbell to get him up and running.
What, 3-1, 2-3, or 2-1?
In the first 10 games, I'd go Campbell 6 or 7 times, depending on the results. Then as the year goes on, I would probably try to even it out a little bit. And by the end of the season, I think I would want 50-30.
Yeah, that's I think that's what I said a couple weeks ago. I feel like that would be a good number for us.
Yeah.
The Oilers have probably got a pretty good record if that's the numbers that we're at.
So in October, the Oilers only play one back-to-back game. So that's the only split you have. So they have Vancouver, Calgary, Buffalo, Carolina, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Chicago, Calgary. Like, seems like a good amount, a variety of teams that you can ease in both guys there. Like, obviously, you want Campbell to play against the better teams, like Calgary and St. Louis, Carolina, Pittsburgh, and then, you know, you can throw Skinner on the back-to-back against Chicago. Maybe you play him in the second game in Calgary, but you also have the Buffalo game in there too. Like, this
kind of gotta play him against the Sabres.
Yes, the Sabres. Gotta. But it's like, it's just a good way to ease everybody into the season and for them.
I agree. I like it. It's gonna be interesting to see how Woodcroft handles that split. Coming up to Ask the Idiots for Canada Snowboard, Tyler. This is exciting. Experience a world-class mashup of snowboarding and style right here in Edmonton. A heightened fan experience grants you front row seats to watch the best snowboarders go head-to-head at the largest stadium big air contest Canada has ever seen. You can now get your tickets on Ticketmaster.
Yes, and the other thing too, when big events like these come to the city, and this one I know for a fact, it's a lot of time it's Explore Edmonton who does some heavy lifting to make sure it happens. So shout out to Explore Edmonton as well for getting us some big name events in the city.
Boys, for our friends at Canada Snowboard, it is time for Ask the Idiots. I got three questions here for all of you. They haven't seen them yet. First impressions only. Dan, you're up first. Who is first to get their first NHL fight? McDavid, Draisaitl, or Yamamoto?
Oof. I hope it's Yamamoto, but I think it might be Draisaitl. Definitely not going to be McDavid. McDavid learned his lesson in junior hockey. He broke his hand. You can look it up on hockeyfights.com.
He punched the glass.
I have a feeling that there's something in his contract that says that he's not allowed to do it.
To see it just once, though.
I would too. Man, that would get the boys fired up, wouldn't it?
He punched the glass in his last fight, so I'm okay with him not fighting. I think Draisaitl's fiery passion will get him into one.
Liam, first. Yamo, Draisaitl, McDavid. Who scraps first?
I kind of think it's McDavid. Just because last season, I think we saw him get involved a little bit more. He's had that taste of going far in the playoffs. Like, I think he's going to want it, like, pretty bad. Like, we saw it similar with McKinnon in a way, like, last season, right? Like, hopefully McDavid doesn't start throwing helmets at people. Jesus.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. But I don't know. I could see it. And I don't think Draisaitl ever will. I just don't think he ever will. I
wouldn't want to fight him. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like, who's he going to fight? He's going to have to fight like a heavyweight.
Draisaitl, I think, is going to be my pick.
Go ahead, Tyler.
I could see him just getting so fired up and pissed off.
Just
grabs someone and drops his gloves. And maybe it's not like the traditional, like, off the face off dropping him, but like it'll get scored a 5-minute major, even though there was like 3 punches.
I could just see it in a really high intense game. McDavid goes into a scrum.
Neil
Pionk.
I'm following Liam on this one. I say it's Connor. I think that he's gonna, like, I think about Penguins fans. Do they want to see Sid fight Probably not. But he's good for once a year, once every other year. Yep. Something annoys him to the point where he'll chuck him.
Remember that's exactly what I was thinking, is Sidney Crosby fighting. And I thought, I could see McDavid doing the same thing.
There's a really funny one with Crosby that I remember. It was against the Panthers, and they were at the face-off dot. And the guy hadn't even stood up from the face-off draw, and Crosby grabbed him and started punching
See, that's
him.
The way to do it, Connor.
Yeah, just get him smart. But I would love to see – all this talk has got me excited to see a Yamamoto-Kadri fight, though. Battle of Alberta, October 15th.
I think you're going to get a Kane Kadri.
Yeah.
Mangiapane Yamel. That's what I would
say. That'd be a good one, too.
Question number two, ask the idiots for our friends at Canada Snowboard. Liam, I'm starting with you. You have to buy a crested Calgary Flames jersey. Who goes on the back?
Aginla.
Good pick, Tyler.
Answer. Jeez, that's a really good answer.
That's a great answer.
Sorry, can I follow this up quickly? I just want to talk about something that happened in the office the other day. And I'm not a Calgary fan, but you got to respect the legends of the game. Somebody put the Jerome Iginla figure as the doorstop the other day. Mm. I put an end to it pretty quickly for you Calgary fans out there. I thought that was very disrespectful to the legend himself. Plus, those figures can bring in a good buck. So...
Always thrifty.
Yeah. You never know who's going to walk in and say, I'll pay $200 for that thing. Never know. Can't have doorstop marks on it.
Tyler, you have to get a crested Calgary Flames jersey. Who's on it?
Who do I not mind on the Calgary Flames? I might go Jacob Markstrom seems kind of cool. He's a goalie.
Sucks against the Oilers.
So there's that. If I had to go throwback, give me a Damon Lankow jersey.
That's a name I haven't even heard in years.
Yeah, I used to sit by a relative of his at Oilers games, and they're still Oilers fans. They're season ticket holders on that level.
The Lankows, big oil fan.
Shout out to the Lankows.
Dan, who you got?
My jersey would be a number 4, and it would say it's in. It was in. Flames fans are mad now hearing that, I promise. But if I had to actually pick a jersey, it would be Mika Kiprusoff.
I thought a Kiprusoff.
Number 34, was he? Weird number guy? Yeah.
I will go with my first pick is I would rather not wear clothes ever. But since I'm going to play along.
We're going streaking!
I'm going to pick Johnny Gaudreau because the way he left.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right.
Ha, ha, ha. Third and final question for Canada Snowboard. Ask the idiots. Tyler, what is the most... I am imagining this came from football last night. What is the most boring or worst hockey game you've ever been to or watched?
Most boring hockey game I've ever watched.
While you guys are thinking, I'll jump in. Yeah. There was a time when the Oilers used to play the Minnesota Wild six or seven times a season, and Jacques Lemaire was the coach, and that... team was, despite having Marian Gaborik and some players who were exciting to watch, they were so fucking boring. So I don't have a specific game at all, but any Wild game I watched when Jacques Lemaire was the coach, I'm just going to pick that.
What was that bald guy called who played? Boucher?
Alex Auld.
Bald guy that played. That's what you got so far?
He played for Minnesota. He was Pierre something.
Bouchard. PM Bouchard. Pierre-Marc Bouchard.
I just always remember when he would always score against the Oilers. And that was what I was thinking Minnesota games, but I have a different one too. Go ahead.
Look at this fucking
Go ahead, Liam.
Yeah. That
was classic Pierre-Marc Bouchard kind of play.
Whenever the Oilers play San Jose in San Jose, last season when I know Mike Smith and McDavid got that goal.
Yeah, that OT one.
But that game was horrendous.
Yeah, it was boring.
That finished 2-1.
It was something like that.
It was so
I remember
so
Nuge tied boring. It up to send it to overtime and McDavid finished
it. Oh, man. I remember laying in bed thinking, I want to sleep.
There's nothing worse than an 8 p.m. or 8:30 start, and the game is horrible.
Mm-hmm. Or any game at the Shark Tank just sucks.
That it's building dark, it's dingy.
Lit like shit.
Tyler or Dan, who wants to jump in?
I'll jump in, Tyler. I worked an entire summer during my grade 12 year, or grade 11 year.
Were you in Halifax?
The entire summer in Halifax, scooping ice cream.
Yep.
That's why I have one really strong right arm. No other reason. No other reason, Tyler.
Dan doesn't. I'm cleaning my room.
But I actually have the stretch of games that I paid to fly out here to see, and it's epic. So we lost to the Minnesota Wild on December the 3rd, 1-0. Oh. Then we tied the Minnesota Wild 1-1. And I remember that they scored a goal with like 15 seconds left to go to tie it. And I was devastated. And then we lost to the Vancouver Canucks 3-0. So I saw one Edmonton Oilers goal in a stretch of three games, came all the way across the country to do it, and saw us play the Minnesota Wild twice. They scored one frigging goal against them.
That is outrageous.
I'll argue one of the Jays games we went to see when we went there this summer was terrible.
Yes,
for the kids, though. For the kids, it was great.
Fair enough.
Not for us, though.
Not for us.
I just got drunker and drunker as the game went on. That's the only thing that happened.
Yeah, I'd agree with you, Bagged Milk. Like, there was just some decade of darkness stuff that we had to sit through. It was horrible, and I like to think I've erased most of it from my memory.
Like, there was games, as an example, where worst game you're watching, it's the Aikens era, and the Oilers get absolutely shit stomped by the Chicago Blackhawks, like 10-1 or something like that. I'm just like, ugh. Painful.
Or just memories of going to games, and of course it was Rexall. You have to park like four blocks away.
Yep.
It's -30. Oilers just lost 3-0 to the Minnesota Wild, and like 12 or 13-year-old me is like walking back to the car being like, wow, this sucks. School tomorrow.
Last year, weren't we in the building for Edmonton losing eight goals to the Flames or something stupid like that?
Oh, it was 9-5. Oh,
at least that was entertaining, right?
For a first half of the game.
I have one other one. But it's kind of funny. So the final score was 8-5 between. So I went to a baseball game and it was Mariners versus the White Sox. And within the first three innings, it was 8-5.
Wow.
And that was the final score. And the rest of it was
just two guys playing catch.
Great pitching. I was just like, man, this is. I was just basking in the sun.
If you want to chime in on Ask the Idiots for our friends at Canada Snowboard, hit me up. Slide into the old DMs or fire me an email. The boys don't see the questions before I ask them. We just get their first take. And if you want to get tickets to the Big Air event at Commonwealth Stadium, they are now available at Ticketmaster.
Big Air, big vibes.
Big Air, big vibes. Hell yeah.
Liam, get your buttons ready.
Let's go.
It is time to wrap up the podcast with hot and cold performers of the week for our friends at Twig and Berries. Twigandberries.ca. Go check it out. There you will find some new threads, be it undies, a hoodie, a toque, whatever you need. Our friends at Twig and Berries have got it all for you. Twigandberries.ca to get it there. Nation 15 will get you a discount on your order. Or if you're in St. Albert, just stop in. Stop into the store, touch things, smell things if you like. Get yourself an ODR hoodie. I promise you won't regret it. As always, we start off with our veggies. Liam, I'm starting with you. You're near the button bar. Your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
Myself.
Okay.
I've had a tough week with my pets. Nothing too crazy, just a fish tank.
I thought we were going dark here.
Oh, you're trying to give away your fish tank.
Yeah, you did try to pitch it to Jay. It didn't go well.
Oh, he said no?
He said, didn't say no. Didn't say no.
He didn't say yes.
I think us having fish in the office, sorry, Liam, would be great content.
I think so, too.
Who's caring for the fish?
Well, everyone, I will.
We're always
here. Bag Milk and I have been here for a few years. We've been in offices for a few years with plants
R.I.P.
have not survived.
One time, Chris, the intern, R.I.P., tried to water a plant with Red Bull. So that's what kind of care we provide here.
Oh, boy.
Well, I do think the fish tank does have potential in the office.
I like it. I like watching fish.
Maybe we'll put it to a vote. But anyway, so
I vote yes.
I recently downgraded. From, by the way, this fish tank is 200 gallons.
It is. I don't know if the building is structurally sound to hold the fish tank.
It's an aquarium.
So I downsided to a 20-gallon fish tank. And
That is quite the downsize. Tenfold, I'd say.
Yes, yes. So I had to move one. I had one surviving fish. It was a dwarf plaque. Oh, I think something like a nice guy, Spike. So I put him in my fish tank. And the first day, I got him five new friends. Five neon tetras.
Okay.
Put them in the tank, swimming around, woke up in the morning, all sucked up to the filter.
Oh,
completely dead. No.
I was like, okay, well, that's far from ideal. So I thought, okay, well, I'll just let the tank kind of set a little bit, get used to it. I put some conditioner in there and stuff, which is supposed to help get rid of the chemicals. So then a couple of days later, me and my girlfriend went to PetSmart to grab...
Wait, was pets. Spike in the filter too?
Spike survived.
Spike.
Spike can live in anything.
Shout out Spike. Boy.
So went to the store, got two more. Woke up the next day and this other one is sucked up to the filter. I'm like, oh man.
I think your filter sucks, bro.
No, these fish are literally, like, they're just, I can't get this the tank right. I can't figure out how to do it.
So I wonder, is like a whole night of them just like clawing and scratching in the water, trying to stay in the thing.
So they're trying to find Nemo their way out of that tank.
The filter isn't sucking them up to death. What's sucking them up to death is the fact they're struggling to breathe in the tank.
Jesus.
And I can't figure it out. So I grabbed these ammonia reducer balls yesterday and I put them in and they seem to be working. So I'm like, this is a plea. If anyone knows... Oh, I can get my fish.
My girlfriend is a massive fish person. I will get her to help you.
Yeah.
There's a fish market just over there I could stop at and see how to help you.
There is.
Send me a message on Twitter because I'd like to prevent my fish from dying.
Wow.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
Also a record for the longest cold performer so far ever. Tyler, your Twig and Berry's cold performer of the week.
I'll be a little quicker here. The Oilers for the announcement of this Oilers Plus thing. Charge fans how much for tickets, how much for jerseys, how much for apparel, how much for beers, how much for all of this stuff. And now you're going to start putting what? Podcasts, articles, post-game press conferences behind a fucking paywall? To me...
Is that what it is?
I don't think this is going to be free. If it is free, then they're fine. I forgive them. But I've heard that the Oilers have talked about a premium subscription thing for a while. And if this is indeed what it is and they make people pay, they get a preemptive cold performer for that.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
I love that clip. Nation Dad, Twig and Berry's cold performer of the week.
Okay, well, I want to put a little disclaimer in front of this. This is my own opinion and not anybody else that's shared on this podcast necessarily. My cold performer of the week is going to go to one Paul Bissonnette for his comments on national television the other day. It's not so much that he can make that joke because he's welcome to make that joke on his own platforms and his own time. Being on national television, having female viewers watching you and having you speak to them in that way is not okay by me. I'm a big proponent in trying to grow this game, and I think that we need to stop trying to cut people out of it. And so Paul Bissonnette, for your comments on national television, you get my cold performer of the week.
You're as cold as ice.
I'll just say I second it.
I agree too.
Thank you. I just didn't want to speak for anybody. Liam doesn't.
Pots on Liam's mic. Too bad, Liam.
Yeah, we're all on board with that. Yeah. Well said, Dan. I actually feel bad now that I come in with shenanigans after that, but my Twig and Berry's cold performer of the week is that Rick was plastered on the side of the building at Rogers Place, and he only got a 30% discount at the store.
Once.
A one-time only 30% discount.
Ooh.
And without asking him, they slapped him on the building. So Edmonton Oilers, for that, you get my cold performer of the week.
It's been up and down like a toilet seat, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rick should go full Vegas street performer and just stand in front of it as a statue until somebody pays him some money.
Or he should go.
And then he can welcome
him. He should go do like what they do, you know, when you can get like the Fantastic Four pictures on like the street in LA.
Yes.
Rick should stand out there and be like, pictures with Rick, $5.
Yeah. Let's make sure to get Rick paid for his work, for being incredibly handsome. All right. Let's end off the podcast. We got only a couple minutes for the Jays. First pitch. Tyler, I'm going to start with you because you're the most excited about the Jays. Your Twig and Berry's hot performer of the week.
Our boy Alek Manoah.
Let's go.
I know is going to go kill it today. Come on, big man. We got you. Number 6. Let's go.
We the best.
We are the best.
Shout out to DJ Khaled. Liam, your Twig and Berry's hot performer of the week.
Alistair Johnson for coming on my podcast and talking to Caroline and I.
That was cool.
Starts for Canada and he's going to go to the World Cup. And he was awesome. He was a really good guy. So go check that out and Kicked Back. A little promo there.
Kicked Back airs when, Liam?
Tuesdays and Wednesdays in the afternoon when I put it up.
Wow.
Major key alert.
Shout out to DJ Khaled. Nation Dan, your Twig and Berry's hot performer of the week.
Well, a cold performer of the week that I think everybody probably wanted to give out but just maybe forgot because we have been living in a hellscape of news is Hockey Canada. And so I'm going to give my hot performer of the week, though, to Katie Strang and Rick Westhead for the work that they are doing, the investigative journalism that is needing to be done in this country to hold Hockey Canada accountable. So those two get my hot performer of the week.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Shout out to the companies pulling their sponsor money too.
Yes, agreed.
That happened in a real hurry.
New Brunswick hockey just pulled out as well.
Alberta just demanded answers too before they send any money.
Good.
Just to wrap things up so we can go watch some baseball. My Twig and Berry's Hot Performer of the Week is the, like, it's a shitty thing to give as a Hot Performer of the Week, but Evander Kane for cropping Jake Virtanen out of those fishing photos was arguably one of the coldest things I've ever seen. And I don't know that I've laughed harder than when I noticed that he cropped him out of those photos. He was there on all the team site photos, but not in Evander Kane. So Evander Kane, you made me chuckle this week, my friend. You are my Hot Performer of the Week. I'm
staying alive. When that's the best thing that happened on your PTO, you probably shouldn't have signed it.
At least they got to go catch that sturgeon. For DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Canada Snowboard, and Twig and Berries, we are wrapping up Oilers Nation Radio and going to watch the Jays. The regular season starts next week. We are back to 2 episodes a week the week following that. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Shout out Blue Jays Nation.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You gotta decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you gotta predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some Nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.